And so as a topical series, we're going to be looking at various different texts throughout the Bible. And so for the next weeks and months, you'll have something like this, where we're going to have primary texts that we'll be looking at. So I'm going to read these five passages. They're printed there. Listen to God's holy word. These words have the power to bring you back to reality. We can so easily live in illusion, but these words bring us back to reality. So let's listen to God. Genesis 2. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Genesis 3. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. In Romans chapter 10, For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. That's the word of God. As we consider it, may he grant us understanding that we'd receive it by faith and apply it to our lives. I read a biographical article this week by a woman named Janice who struggled throughout most of her life with paranoid schizophrenia. Paranoid schizophrenia is a mental disorder that is defined as a mental disorder where a person loses touch with reality. They have delusions and hallucinations, and they see things that aren't there, or they hear voices that aren't there. And these delusions and these hallucinations are oftentimes so intense or so scary that this person is actually imprisoned in fear. Well, Janice shared that from as early as she can remember in her childhood, there was a friend that she called the controller. And she could see him and she could hear him, but no one else could. And the controller demanded her constant attention and would punish her if she did something that he didn't like. And oftentimes, when she was interacting with real people, the controller would cause the their faces to distort, and she would misinterpret things, thinking that they were out to get her and to devour her. These voices would oftentimes send her on missions where she'd be in search of various things. She would oftentimes feel that she was singled out to carry out a mission that was given to her that no one else knew about. Janice was living in this world of illusion, and she lost touch with reality. Well, after years of denial that something was wrong, she finally, during grad school, went to a therapist who prescribed a medication for her. And Janice reflects on this time as it being a miracle drug. Because for the very first time, this controller disappeared. And these hallucinations and these delusions melted away, so that for the first time, she could see the world as it really is. This medication was something that she had to take every day. And the temptation for her was that when she started feeling better, she thought, well, I don't need the medication anymore. And so one time she quit. And very quickly after she quit, those hallucinations and delusions came back with a vengeance. And she completely crashed. She got back on that medication and soon thereafter once again entered into reality. This drug helped free her from illusion and delusion, from her fears and paranoia, but she needed to take it every day. Well, on a spiritual level, all of us, to some degree, have similar tendencies as those who suffer from paranoid schizophrenia. On some level, we are all spiritual schizophrenics. And here's why I say that. We all have the tendency of seeing things, of not seeing things as they really are. We all have the tendency of not seeing things as they really are. You all have the tendency to live under various illusions where you create your own fantasy world, where you either think too highly of yourself or too lowly of God, where you have delusions of your own authority and control and security and your own self-sufficiency, where you feel that you can declare something to be right when in reality it's actually all wrong. And it's in this world of illusion where our fears grow to disproportionate size and imprison you with anxiety and fear and worry. As a spiritual schizophrenic, just like me, you suffer from illusion and delusion. But thankfully, in some ways, like that miracle drug that Janice took for paranoid schizophrenia, there is a cure for spiritual schizophrenia. But it's not a drug or a pill. It's the Word of God, the Bible. God has spoken in order to set you free from the illusions and delusions that you live in so you can see this world as it really is. God has spoken in order to shrink those fears down to size so that you can see that they're not actually as big as they appear. God has spoken so that you can see who you really are and what this world really is, and most importantly, so that we can see who He really is. You are naturally blinded by the illusions and delusions of your mind, and it's only the Word of God that can set you free. It's only the Word of God that will ground you in reality. So make it your daily medication for spiritual schizophrenia. Before we look at these passages, I want to think a little bit more how easy it is for spiritual schizophrenics, as we are, how easy we can create our fantasy worlds and our worlds of illusion. We live in a physical world and we interact with the physical world with our five senses. We can see things, we can hear things, we can smell things and taste things and touch things. And through those senses, we can learn a lot about our surroundings and about one another and about our world. We learn that we are actually a small, tiny speck on a very small planet in a very small solar system, in a smallish galaxy that's floating around among an uncountable number of stars and planets and moons and galaxies inside a universe that we cannot measure. We are absolutely microscopic compared to this massive universe. But at the same time, we also learn that on this little planet, we are actually pretty powerful. We're on top of the food chain. We can accomplish quite a lot if we put our minds to it. We also learn that in this world, there are some pretty awful things. There's war and conflict and pain and abuse and natural disasters and freak accidents and disease and death. We observe these things. And of course, these things are mere observations. But what happens is that we take these observations and we interpret them and we come to conclusions and we make statements of belief. For example, when you recognize that, in fact, we are a small speck of sand in the midst of this swirling sea of stars, you could conclude that your life and my life, that life here on earth, is really just insignificant and meaningless. And some people believe that. Or, by realizing that we're actually on top of the food chain, you could conclude that we are the highest beings that exist in this world, and we think very highly of ourselves. Some people believe that. Or when trying to determine what's right or wrong, some people come to the conclusion that what feels good must be right, and what feels bad must be wrong. And some people believe that. Or when you look around at all the pain and trouble in this world, you come to the conclusion that God must be either disconnected from reality, disconnected from our world, or that he's simply a masochist and likes to see his creation squirm in pain. Some people believe that. Or we look at this world and we come up with countless explanations as to how it came into existence, like we're the result of this Big Bang, and that we evolved by chance from lifeless nothingness into humans. Some people believe that. Through our observations, we draw conclusions, we make belief statements, and we create, through those belief statements, we create our own reality. And of course, you draw different conclusions than I draw, and so your illusions and delusions are different from mine. But who's to say that your illusions are better than mine? Or your conclusions are better than mine? Or mine are better than yours? In our culture today, we of course live with this understanding that what you believe and how you interpret the world is good for you and true for you. And what I believe and how I interpret the world is good and true for me. And no one can say that anyone is ever wrong or actually right. In this postmodern world, we've determined that the best way to live is to let everyone live under their own illusions. So if you want to be a boy, but you're actually a girl, you can decide to be a boy. We can create our own illusions and live under our own delusions. You and I are natural spiritual schizophrenics. Well, you might ask, is that really a bad thing? Is it really a bad thing to live under your own illusions and delusions? Of course, our culture says, no, it's not a bad thing. The most loving thing that we could do for each other is to let each other live under those illusions, live in their own belief system, to remain under those delusions. If you want to be a girl, great. That's good for you. Or you want to be a boy, that's great for you. Well, let's think about that on the level of someone who suffers from paranoid schizophrenia. Should we continue to let those who suffer from paranoid schizophrenia continue to live with their delusions and hallucinations? Well, we'd say, of course not. And why? Because your world of illusion is a kind of prison, and it's a prison that's filled with great fear as well as great danger. So, for example, if you believe that you can fly and you jump off the tallest building that you can find, it doesn't matter what you believe, the reality is that you will fall to your death. In that case, your illusion threatens your very life. Or if you believe that there's always someone out to get you around the next corner, you'll be paranoid with fear. And therefore, the most loving thing you can do is help set them free from illusion. Help them see reality. Well, the same is true for our spiritual state of spiritual schizophrenia. The most loving thing you can do is actually to set them free, because your delusions and your illusions are dangerous and will imprison your life with fear. So, for example, if you live as if there's no God, but there really is one. When you stand up to face Him in judgment, you're in trouble. If you live as if there's no hell, but there really is one, then you'll be condemned to hell. Or if you think it's okay to do this certain thing when in reality it actually will destroy you, it'll kill you. If you believe that you are on your own in this world without God and without help, that this life is random and meaningless, then you're vulnerable to a life of great fear and meaninglessness. Living under illusion is actually one of the most dangerous things you can do. Living under spiritual illusion, it's far more dangerous than thinking that you can fly. And the most loving thing that someone could do for you is to help set you free from your illusions and help set you free to see reality. Well, thankfully, in His love, God does exactly this. We read from John chapter 8 where Jesus said, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What's Jesus getting at here? He's saying that His words are truth, meaning this is not an illusion. It's not someone's perception or delusion or opinion. It's reality. And when you know this truth will set you free. Well, it'll set you free from what? Sort of leaves us hanging there. It'll set you free. Well, it'll set you free from the dangers and fears of your own illusions by grounding you in reality. God has graciously spoken. He's spoken to you through His word in order to set you free from your spiritual schizophrenia, to set you free from your illusions and delusions. And what you and I need is for the word of God to ground us in that reality. So that every day you see life in this world as it really is, not what you want it to be or what fantasy world you're in. The Word of God is the only cure for spiritual schizophrenia. Without it, you'll be lost in a nightmare world of your fantasies. Let's take a look at a few of these other passages to help us understand this a little better. Let's go back to Genesis, back to the Garden of Eden. Read from Genesis chapter 2. This is before the fall into sin. God created the world. He created everything in it. He placed Adam and Eve in the garden to take care of it and to enjoy it. Adam names all the animals. They walk with God. Adam and Eve walk with God. They enjoy a great marriage. They were living in reality, and life was very good. But even in paradise, God knew that we are susceptible to illusion. And so He said, "You may eat from all the trees in the garden, except for the one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat the fruit of that tree, you will die." It may look like all the other trees in the garden. The fruit might look pretty good to eat, but remember, appearances are deceiving. It'll actually kill you. Well, not long after that, the serpent came into the garden and he tempted the woman, saying, "Did God really say that? If you eat this fruit, you won't die, but instead you'll be like God." And it says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, saw that it was a delight to her eyes, and saw that it was desirable for gaining wisdom. Do you see what happens here? Eve was evaluating this fruit based on her perceptions and then making belief statements. Well, the tree looks healthy. The fruit looks good. It wasn't this sort of shriveled up, spooky looking tree with some rotten fruit hanging off of it like you might see in a Disney movie. It looks good. It doesn't look like it's poisonous or deadly. God must be trying to trick us. And this fruit will actually make me like God. Through her own perceptions, her five senses, she drew her own conclusions, and she walked right into her own illusions, her delusions. It's like she stood on the edge of this cliff thinking that she could fly, and she jumped. She reached out, she took that fruit, and she ate it, and she gave some to Adam, and he ate it. And it was like a nuclear bomb went off. At that moment, they spiritually died. And they were also then condemned to die physically. And they plunged the entire human race and this whole world into a state of misery and sin and death. Eve created her own world. And it destroyed us. Even in the garden, Adam and Eve needed the Word of God to ground them in reality because they tend toward illusion. And when they neglected the Word of God, when they set aside the Word of God and made their own conclusions, they became delusional and it destroyed their lives and the lives of everyone in this world. Well, if you think about it, if Adam and Eve, who were there in the garden, who walked with God before the fall, if they needed the Word of God to keep them from illusion, how much more do you and I need it today in our fallen state? There are so many things in this world that look so good. Lots of things don't seem like they would be harmful. But God in His love, God has spoken to you so that you learn to see things as they really are, not the way things appear. So for example, in Proverbs 7, the adulterous woman is pictured as a very beautiful, seductive, flattering, caring woman. But God says, don't let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. She looks good, yeah. But she will kill you. In order for you to be set free from your illusions and delusions, you need to look at the whole world through the lenses of the Bible. You need to know this truth because it's this truth that will ground you in reality and set you free. God's Word will expose your delusions and keep you grounded. It's the only cure for spiritual schizophrenia. You need daily intake of the Bible. We fall back into our illusions so easily. We might learn one thing, but forget it the next moment or the next hour or the next day, and we need to be reminded of what is real so we don't fall back into our illusions. Believe me, you're going to go through times, and I'm sure many of you have gone through times, where you just aren't convinced of the importance of the Word of God, where you just aren't convinced that it's really going to help you. And you won't be as diligent to read it, and you're going to fall off, and you're going to not feel like you're in the mood for it, or your mind isn't in the mood for it. You'll feel like you just don't need it that much. But there is a very direct correlation here. As the Word of God drops out of your life, the further you'll be lost in your illusions and delusions. The glory of God will fade from your mind. Your fears will grow monstrous and disproportionate. You'll become fixated on those things that don't really have any value, and you'll neglect those things that have eternal value. And you'll get more and more involved in those things that seem harmless but are in fact waging war against your soul and sucking the life out of you. You need the Word of God to keep your feet grounded in reality, because you tend every moment toward delusion. The book of Romans speaks to the importance of the Word of God in our human world. And it says there in Romans 1, starting with verse 18, it says that through the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities and His divine nature are clearly seen from what's been made. What that means is that simply by living in this world and looking around, everyone in this world knows deep down, whether they like it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, they know that God is there. By looking at this massive universe, or taking a look at a living cell and with all its complexities and its DNA, you should recognize that God is there. As it says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Just by looking around, you know that God is there. But the problem is that's as far as it'll take you. Even with all your perceptions working accurately, which they don't work accurately because of the fall, but even with all your perceptions working accurately, we can really only know enough about God from this world to condemn us, and not enough to save us. Romans 1, verse 20 says that the creation reveals to us enough about God so that it says we are without excuse. When we stand before God in judgment, we won't be able to make a case that there wasn't enough evidence for God. We will all stand speechless. What that means, then, is that there are people who are scattered around the world who have never heard of Jesus Christ, but just by the fact that they live in this world, they stand condemned before God. That's a hard thing. That's what Romans 1 teaches. And because that is true, Paul then gives us that plea in Romans 10 then. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how will they preach unless they are sent?" What he's saying here is that the creation around us gives us enough knowledge about God to condemn us, but not enough to save us. And that's why God graciously spoke into this world in order to reveal to us His great salvation. That Jesus, the Word of Life, came into this world to live under the curse and to become a curse for us by dying on the cross with our sins on His shoulders and then rising from the dead, rising in victory. And it's through His death and resurrection that we've been forgiven and given new life with God. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's the message of hope and salvation, and it's for all people. Well, this speaks to one of the biggest illusions that captivates so many people, imprisons so many people. One of the biggest illusions in this world is the idea that if I do enough good things, God will be kind to me on that day of judgment. That is perhaps the most deadly delusion that imprisons perhaps the most people in this world. Because in their illusion, when they actually stand before God, they'll have no hope. But through the Word of God, you are set free from your illusion. You're brought back to reality. You're confronted with the glory and majesty of the grace of Jesus Christ. And you're urged to put all your hope not in your works, not in your perceptions, not in your illusions and your conclusions, but in Jesus Christ who died and rose from the dead to save people like you and me. Are you stuck in your own world of illusion? If so, you are in great danger. And God speaks to you right where you are to set you free from that illusion. God has spoken and Jesus came to set you free, to ground you in reality. So hold fast to His word and call on Him and you will be saved. Now you might have a question in your mind, why the Bible? There are all kinds of spiritual books that claim to be the Word of God. There are all kinds of religions in this world with all their own holy writings. Who's to say that the Bible is the only one that's grounded in reality? Who's to say that all those other books are actually just the result of a person's illusions and delusions? Let me give you two reasons that support this idea. Two reasons that support that the Bible is the Word of God and nothing else. These are the most compelling ideas, reasons for me. The first one is that this book was written by 36 different people over a period of 1,600 years, and yet the message and theme of the Bible remains consistent from beginning to end. In every book of the Bible, we're reminded of that central message that we are lost in our sin and we need God to save us through a Savior. When I was in seminary, one of my classmates was reading a book by an unbeliever who was looking at the Bible from a literary point of view. He was fascinated by it, but he couldn't understand how the Bible remained so consistent over, as it was written by so many different people over a long period of time. How could it be so consistent? He had no explanation for that. But we do. It's consistent from cover to cover because it wasn't just written by man, but it was inspired by God, the true author who wrote His words through 36 different people over a span of 1,600 years. There are lots of other writings that claim to be written by God or that claim to be holy, but these books, as you'll find, are written by one person. Joseph Smith wrote the Book of Mormon. Muhammad wrote the Quran. Mary Baker Eddy wrote the Holy Book for Christian Scientology. One person can make something up and make it sound pretty good. About 36 different people over a period of 1,600 years? Absolutely impossible. Unless it's divinely inspired. That's the first reason that supports this idea that that's the Word of God and not a delusion. The second reason that it sets sets the Bible apart from the rest of other holy books is the fulfilled prophecy in the book. There are hundreds of prophecies in the Bible. You could do a study on it. That have been fulfilled. Isaiah 7:14, written over 700 years before Jesus was born, says that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Micah 5:2, written around 700 years before Jesus was born, says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, from you shall come forth for me one who is ruler among Israel, whose coming forth is from old and of ancient of days." Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Zechariah 9:9, about 500 years before Jesus was born, says, "Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Of course, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey's colt 1 week before he's crucified. Now the thing is, you and I could have all the best airtight arguments for why the Bible, why we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. But as good as they might be, they don't actually have the power to convince you of its truth. But as it says in 1 Corinthians 2, it says that unless the Spirit opens your heart, You cannot accept these things. You can't accept it until the Holy Spirit opens your eyes. Maybe you're having trouble believing that the Word, that the Bible really is the Word of God. And it's good to read about it and study up on it. But really what you need is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you feel that hardness in your heart, then ask God to open up your heart to receive and understand His precious Word, so that His Word alone would free you from the delusions and illusions of your life and ground you in reality. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Every day it'll set you free. We do all suffer from spiritual illusion and delusion, some form of spiritual schizophrenia, and we are in danger of living in a world of illusion. And the only cure is the intake, the daily intake, the regular meditation of the Word of God. It's your medication that will dissolve your delusions and ground you in reality. In his book, Dangerous Callings, Paul Tripp spoke of how vital the Word of God is for Christians. And he wrote this. He said, "Daily Bible study, meditation, and prayer have the power and potential to make the glory of God big in our eyes once again. And if we are daily confronted with His grandeur, not only will that give us courage and hope, but it will also remind us that we are neither grand nor glorious. Because it puts God at the center of the universe, it has the power to kill any illusion that we have of being in the center ourselves. It has the power to kill your illusions and bring you back into the reality of the glory of God. God spoke and Jesus came to set you free. To set you free from your illusions, to set you free from your sin. Fight spiritual schizophrenia through daily Bible intake of the Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let's pray. God, we confess that we do not see this world as it really is so often. We are so deluded that we misunderstand the things that are obvious right before us. And so we ask you, O God, to please set us free from our illusions and delusions and let us see this life and this world as it really is. Let the scales fall from our eyes. Those scales seem to grow back so quickly. We can fall back into our old ways, our old patterns of thinking so easily. So help us to see your glory and the glory of your Son, our great Savior, who came to set us free from our illusions and sins. Help us to be committed to meditating on your Word, so that we would be daily grounded in reality. So that we would daily live by faith in our great Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.